Our last one. Last workshop. How do you feel? Tell me in the chat how you're feeling that your journey and Feel Without Fear is coming to an end. I mean, it doesn't have to end completely. I do have an alumni group that you're welcome to be a part of. Gonna make myself some tea. Stumped by how fast time has flown. Yeah, same, always. Anybody else? Do you feel different? Yeah, that's why I have the alumni group, Danielle, so that in case you're not ready for your journey to end, it doesn't have to. I'm so happy you did it too, Kim. Anybody feeling different from when we started? Yeah. Okay. Maybe a little bit more authentic. Maybe a little more embodied. Maybe a little more access to your voice or your feelings. Maybe more compassion for yourself because you realize it actually all probably does make sense. Good. I'm glad you're feeling more embodied tonight. It's amazing. All that. Yes. Okay. Well, this is our last workshop. Then next week we have a Q&A call, just like we do after every workshop. And then the next day we have an integration ceremony. And for the integration ceremony, ideally, I would love it if everyone could share something. I think it's really important to be witnessed in our process. And just to say, like, here's where I was. Here's what I did. Here's where I am now. I want to be seen in that. Like, that's a really, really important thing. So I would like to give everyone that opportunity to just be seen in their process. And so we'll take like the first half hour, 45 minutes of the integration ceremony will be recorded. That will be a space for you to share what you want to be witnessed for. I'll give you some prompts in the email that I'll send out with this replay too, just in case you get stuck on what to say, but you can say whatever you want. And that part will be recorded so that people who weren't able to make it live can witness that part. But then afterwards, I'm going to turn the recording off and then we're going to do the more ceremonial part, which is embodiment and movement, which we haven't done a lot of here because it's been a lot of like talking and learning and coaching and feeling our feelings and all that kind of stuff. But like, you got to be turned loose to like actually move this way in the world. Like, you can't just be this here in this container. Like, you have to be this in the world. So that's what the integration ceremony is for. So I have a playlist and we're just going to move through the playlist and there won't be a lot of talking. You're not going to be getting feedback. All of our cameras will be on, but I promise you, nobody is watching you. They're all just in their own little world, like afraid that other people are watching them. So, as long as you can just like be in that space and trust that that's okay, then you'll love the integration ceremony. And actually, I will tell you, in every cohort before this one, everyone tells me how much they fucking love the integration ceremony, and but they show up scared to death. So, just know if you're feeling scared about it, that's okay. It is scary to think about being seen and being vulnerable. And that's okay. So, welcome, Ani and Carrie. Hello. I was just telling the group that this next week we'll have our group call for this workshop. And then the day after, we have an integration ceremony. So, during the first part of the integration ceremony, which will be recorded, you will have an opportunity, and I hope everyone will take this opportunity to share like what you want to be witnessed for in this process, where you started, what you went through, where you are now, how life is different, how you're different, what feels like progress, what feels like a win, something you're really proud of yourself for. And then we will all like witness you in that. And then I'll turn the recording off and then we'll go into a movement. Ceremony practice just for integrating all of this so that we can live and move this way in the world. So also, when your testimonials about what you've gone through in Feel Without Fear are fucking amazing, I also use them for like marketing purposes. So if you don't want what you say to be used for marketing, please just tell me that before you say what you want to say. But yeah, I won't use it if you don't want me to. Your safety is more important than my marketing. But if you're not afraid to be seen, and if you're okay to share and for that to be like shown to the world in an effort to tell other people the potential of this program for them and what that could look like for them, that would be really, really helpful for me. But there's no pressure. So just let me know if you don't want to be, we will remind you about all of this later too. So you don't have to remember it all today. Before we get started, are there any questions? Anybody arriving with anything that feels like it needs to be aired out or talked about before we get started? Or questions about past workshops in case you've missed those? No? Okay. Cool. Well, then let's get started. I will share my screen. All right, let's get going. So welcome to our final workshop, everybody. This one's called Just Live. And the theme of this workshop is getting off the fucking hamster wheel of healing and just living your life and tackling things as it comes up in real time, instead of just being in the space of I have to heal all the things all the time. I'll tell you more about myself. I love the female body. In case you didn't know that about me, maybe you could tell from my Instagram. I freaking love the female body. I love watching the female body. I love watching dance. I love watching stripping, burlesque, pole, all of it. I'm also obsessed with birth and have been. I think I might've been a midwife in my past life because I have just been obsessed with birth my whole life. Like really my whole life. Like when I was 8 years old and you asked me, Lindsay, what do you want to be when you grow up? I would literally say, I want to be an OBGYN when I was 8 years old. So I'm really grateful I didn't become an OBGYN. I don't think I would do very well in the medical industrial complex because I am a rule breaker and you're not really allowed to do that in the medical industrial complex. So probably wasn't for me in this lifetime. That's okay. As you know, I'm not a licensed therapist, so please don't use this information as healthcare. And the group coaching call for this call is next Wednesday, November 20th at 2 p.m. Central. And then our final integration ceremony is the next day, the 21st at 4 p.m. Central. So I hope you can make it to both. We are going to start by talking about lifestyle inflammation. Anybody ever heard me use this phrase before and not know what I was talking about? Okay, great. So lifestyle inflammation is a concept that kind of dropped in to my awareness a few years ago. It's basically just like anything that doesn't support the healing and the life you want to create and live with purpose. Lifestyle inflammation is everywhere. It's also all the stuff that isn't aligned with your authenticity. It's like all the obligations and the shit and the relationships and the scheduling things and the food and the lack of nourishment and like all these things that don't support you in being your authentic self is lifestyle inflammation. So if you've ever heard of the standard American diet, since most of you are European, you may not know about the standard American diet, but the standard American diet is shit. It is full of processed foods, sugar, seed oils, artificial everything, fried foods, like all that kind of stuff. It's really, really terrible. It's why everyone in America is like fucking fat and sick, because our diet is so awful. And our standard American lifestyle is like very sedentary, mostly indoors, very little nature, if any, screens, hustling, overscheduled, overworked, disconnected from community, your phone's always dinging at you. And then of course we have the like over culture of capitalism and patriarchy. So that's the standard American lifestyle. Is it similar in like the UK and Ireland and all very similar? Okay. Maybe I need to, is it similar in Germany, Katarina? Okay. In Ireland, Sinead? Ish? Okay. Yeah. Maybe I need to take the standard American out and just be like, shitty lifestyle, shitty diet. So, and even though it's outside of the scope of this workshop, I don't think we can have a discussion about this kind of lifestyle, especially with the overculture of like capitalism and patriarchy and the technocracy and like all of the things. Like, we can't have a conversation about that without also acknowledging things that we don't have control over. And we don't have control over all of these things, right? Like, you couldn't do anything about COVID. None of us can really do anything about climate change. Like, as much as I try to recycle and as much as I try to grow my own food and batch my errands together to use less gas and I heat my house with a wood stove instead of using gas, and like, I'm really trying. And then fucking Bill Gates just like goes on a trip in his plane and just wipes out all of my efforts, right? I don't have any control over that. Political polarization. I don't go near that with the 10-foot pole. It's why I don't watch the news. Cancel culture, systemic racism, political corruption. Like, whether or not you're happy with the results of the American election, can we all just give a big sigh of relief that it's fucking over? Like, can we all just be like, oh, finally it's over? Corporate capitalism, lack of affordable healthcare, food deserts, like all of these things. We don't have a lot of control over these things. And because there's so many things that we don't have control over, it is like so imperative that we take as best care of our nervous systems as we can. Because building our own resiliency in ourselves and in community is how we take back the power that we do have. I'm curious, just with a show of hands, who would say that you have a very like emotionally safe, open, authentic community, like real people in your real life, that you know are like going to be there for you? They'll call you on your shit. You're allowed to talk about your feelings. You're allowed to be authentic. They have boundaries. Like, you have people, you have community that does this for you. Danielle has that. Kim has that. Sinead has that. Nicole has that. Carrie has that. Okay, cool. Katarina, cool. Great. I hope you nurture that, because if you can't be your authentic self in community, then your authenticity is fucking nothing. Like, that's where it matters the most. And it's also how we take back our power, is like, we are more resilient together than we are on our own. We're pack animals. We're herd animals. We need each other. We need each other's nervous systems. Like, there's a reason why relationships are a basic need and not an extra. But for the individual things that we do have control over, we cannot heal in the same environment or lifestyle that made us sick. So the goal of healing is not to get back to normal, whatever normal was for you. Because normal is dysregulating. Normal is the hustle, the grind. Normal is asleep. Like, you guys are not asleep anymore. You're awake. Normal is asleep. Normal is undernourished. Most people I know are undernourished. They're living these very normal, undernourished lives. Normal is exhausted and burned out. Like, that's not what we're healing for. And you know by now that your body speaks to you through your nervous system. All of the feeling and sensation and symptoms that you have, your nervous system creates those sensation as a way of speaking to you. Feelings are the language of your body. Feelings are messengers, and they're giving you messages all the time. Change this. Slow down here. Pivot. Stop. What, you know, whatever isn't aligned with your authenticity, your body is always giving you that feedback. Whether or not you know how to interpret that feedback is a different question, but the feedback is there nonetheless. So to lower our lifestyle inflammation, it requires us to have a willingness to be in awareness of ourselves and get curious about our lives, choices, relationships, diets, you know, et cetera. It also requires radical honesty about what is and isn't aligned with our authenticity. And this isn't something that's like a one and done thing, right? Like, you'll be going along and trucking through life and something will happen, and it will be an organic moment for you to evaluate, is this relationship aligned with my authenticity? Like, does it support me in being my authentic self, or am I constantly like changing and adapting myself because this relationship still doesn't feel safe? Or like, does this job align with my authenticity? Does this whatever food, does this whatever? Reducing our lifestyle inflammation also requires heaps of personal responsibility and agency to make choices that are within our power and are congruent with our authenticity. So with awareness and curiosity, we have to evaluate relationships, how we spend our time, our screen use, our schedules, our food and movement choices, the environments of our homes. We have to prioritize and create time for rest, true rest, relaxation, play, and pleasure, both alone and in community. We have to use our agency to set boundaries and say no to people and things so that we can say yes to honoring ourselves and creating a life we want. You can't say yes to everything, right? You can't be a yes person to everybody. We also have to reduce focus on things outside of ourselves, like social media, news, problems we can't solve, all those things that I said we don't have control over. I'm not saying you can't care about those things, and I'm not saying you can't try to make the world better. But as all of us probably discovered in 2020 with the rise of cancel culture, your activism is much more effective from a regulated state. Otherwise, you're just like a weird armchair keyboard activist who's like shaming people on the internet and not actually getting anything done. Yeah, even our activism, if it creates lifestyle inflammation, a whole lot of people trying to be activists that really don't have the nervous system resiliency to do so. And it's pretty obvious. All right, just notice what the voice in your head saying so far. Usually that by this point, people with relationship anxiety are starting to be like, oh my God, does this mean I need to leave my relationship? Or usually people with some kind of other health anxiety. Oh my God, what does it mean? Like, just notice if that's there. Notice if there's some part of you that's like resistant. If you're like, oh, I know there's something I'm not taking responsibility for in my life. And now you're like holding a mirror up and showing it to me with a neon sign. Like, just notice. So here's some examples of questions that you could ask yourself to determine like your level of lifestyle inflammation. Is every hour of your day filled with something, or is there spaciousness in your day? Is there time to have play, to rest, to enjoy yourself? Are you really busy working to pay for things, but then you don't have the time to enjoy those things? Are your kids involved in so many extracurriculars that you're like a taxi driver and you spend your evenings in the car instead of at home with your family? Does your commute take up a big portion of your day and doesn't leave time for rest and play? What about your screen time? How much time are you actually spending on your phone? Does anybody tell their phone to track how much time they spend on it? Anybody brave enough to do that? I dare you to. And are you spending time? Whoa, what just happened to my screen? What just happened to my screen? Stand by, you guys. I think I just like lost power. Like my laptop battery is not charging. David's going to come in here and help me. I don't know what just happened. I just quit. We are in the shadow of Mercury retrograde. So, okay. He's like under my desk trying to fix this problem. It just quit, babe. Like the screen just went out. I unplugged it and plugged it back in again. Okay. Ah. We turned it off and on again. Okay, hopefully that doesn't happen again. Yeah, do you spend time on your screen at the expense of rest, play, and pleasure? Oh, I have to share my screen again. Sorry. Thanks for telling me. Here we go. Are you and your partner frequently arguing over being exhausted and stretched really thin, but you don't know how to live in a different way? Is your diet full of shit? How much time are you outside? How are your boundaries? All of these things are like really, really important questions when determining lifestyle inflammation. However, there are some not so obvious sources of lifestyle inflammation. So I would like to tell you about someone I know who from the outside, you would be like, dude, you have a pretty great life. Like your life seems fine. I don't understand why you're so stressed all the time. So I know a man named Jared. That's his real name. I didn't change his name. He and his wife own a multi-million dollar home in one of the nicest neighborhoods in Austin, Texas. If you know about Austin, it's hella expensive to live there. Jared and his wife both work from home. They both make six-figure incomes, like multiple six-figure incomes. They have plenty of workspace. They both have offices at home. They have lots of privacy. They have a beautiful yard. They live in a safe neighborhood. They have one teenage child living at home who's in school full time. And they frequently spend their weekends taking their son to private league soccer tournaments. Jared and his wife also own a $1 million Airbnb. And when they're not taking their son to soccer tournaments on weekends, they spend their other free weekends doing laundry and cleaning the Airbnb. And it's rented out 90% of the time. So there's a lot of guest turnover, which means that a lot of the cleaning and laundry is like happening pretty regularly. And Jared's job requires him to meet in-person clients all over the country for at least 10 days per month. So he's out of town traveling at least 10 days per month. And that is a requirement of his job. He often stays up late answering work emails. So although Jared and his family live in this beautiful, newly remodeled home, I've actually been to their house. The small finishing details, like hanging up bathroom mirrors, hanging pictures on the walls, putting the light switch covers over the outlets and the light switches, unpacking boxes, like they've been there for almost 2 years and haven't done any of that yet. It's still just undone. Jared has trouble sleeping and he feels fucking anxious most of the time. His life is very fast paced. It's urgent. He has a lot of financial and relational pressure. When he was telling me about his life, his exact words were, "I feel like I'm buzzing all the time. I'm exhausted, but I can't sleep. I worried about financial commitments I have, but this is how you make money. So I just hope it gets easier." So what Jared doesn't know is that his nervous system is screaming at him. And I use this example on purpose because when I talk about lifestyle inflammation, I usually hear the most pushback from people who are in a lower income state because they don't have the money to do less. They don't have the money to work less. They can't afford coaching or therapy or courses like this. And I have so much compassion and understanding for that. But lifestyle inflammation doesn't have an income bracket. Multi-million dollar people can have more lifestyle inflammation than people at a lower income level. And this example proves that you can have nice things and plenty of money and your nervous system can still be a wreck. Many people would look at Jared's life and feel jealous. Like, what does he have to lose sleep over? He has it all. Like, he's got money. He's got a nice wife. He has a kid. He has nice cars. He has a beautiful home. He has friends. He has a country club membership, a second home, rental income. Da, 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 da. He's so privileged. Some of us are out here barely making ends meet. We're barely surviving, right? Oh, we're a victim because you have more money. But underneath all of that success on the outside is a man who is buckling under the weight of perfectionism, overachieving, and workaholism. His trauma response is to do everything and add more and more to his plate to prove that he can succeed. Yes, he has a privileged life from the standpoint of wealth, but in many ways, Jared is not privileged at all. He bases his worth in being a high-performance moneymaker. He rarely spends time in nature. When his insomnia is really bad, he uses benzos or alcohol to sleep. He has plenty of money, but he has no time. He has no space in his life to just be. He is not living. He is surviving as a millionaire. It's really, really sad. And you can feel when you're around him and his family, you can feel the sense of dis-ease. I'm not saying disease. I'm saying like the sense of unease, like in their life. He has an extremely inflammatory lifestyle. And he has the money to fix it. Like that's what's so frustrating about it is he has the money to like fix it. But even if Jared had the perfect diet and went to the gym 5 days a week, even if he saw a therapist, which he doesn't have time for, even though his material needs are met, his lifestyle is totally unsustainable. Neither medication nor meditation would give Jared the spare time, energy, and rest his body is craving. Medication and meditation and money don't regulate your nervous system. They don't free up time and space. They don't make you go outside into nature. Jared doesn't need nervous system tools. And that's why I didn't offer him any whenever he was telling me about his lifestyle. I didn't come out with like, "Oh, have you tried this breath work? Have you tried this identify five things you can see and four things you can smell and three things you can touch and two things you can hear. Like, have you tried that? Have you tried that? Like, no. Because that's not going to do him any good. He doesn't need nervous system tools. He needs to take fucking responsibility for how out of control his life is. And he needs to get real clear on why he believes he needs to be a workaholic to prove his worth. He needs to get clear on his underlying beliefs about money related to success and like untangle those things. Otherwise, he's just perpetuating this anxious survival state he's in. So I use that example because there's no protocol, coach, therapy, meditation, breathwork, yoga class, diet, whatever that will shift your nervous system as much as having an awareness of lifestyle inflammation and taking tangible steps to reduce it. Sometimes your nervous system problem is because you need to get some shit out of your life. Like, no, you don't need more tools to show up differently in that stress. You need to fucking offload the stress. This requires time, intention, patience, and even being willing to look weird to other people, even being willing to have your decisions questioned. But it's possible. So hopefully it's obvious to us that Jared has a lot of lifestyle inflammation, right? He's a workaholic. He's constantly busy. He has no time outside. He's never just being. They're pretty obvious sources of lifestyle inflammation. But my question to you is, could the healing journey itself be a less obvious source of lifestyle inflammation? More than how much money, time, or energy we have, more than who we marry or who we live with, more than what we eat, without awareness, our trauma responses unconsciously create our lives. If you guys watched my, David can put the link if you haven't seen it yet in the chat, but 2 or 3 days ago, I posted a video. It's like 11 minutes long. I'm standing in my bedroom and I'm talking about webs and weaving and all this stuff and how my life before I woke up, before I learned about my nervous system and like had awareness and understood that I am just an earthly being of infinite consciousness in this 3D body having a human experience. Like before all of that, my web of life, like what my life was made of, was just a bunch of like dry, old, brittle threads that were trauma responses that I had like put together to kind of hodgepodge this. You know, kind of this like web that supported me and held me up, but it was like held in place by perfectionism and people pleasing and, you know, avoidance and abandonment shit and hypervigilance and, you know, all this kind of shit. So, of course, the second stress comes in, the metaphorical wind, the metaphorical rain, the metaphorical hail, like, of course, a web like that that's made up of these like dry, old, brittle, cobwebby threads, of course, it doesn't hold up, right? Of course, it crumbles, it washes away, it's easy to sweep away, right? Like it's not resilient. All the stickiness is gone, right? With a cobweb, all the stickiness is gone. It's just covered in dirt. So that's what I mean by our trauma responses unconsciously create our lives. Whether you know it or not, you're always weaving. You're weaving something. Are you weaving it consciously or are you weaving it unconsciously? If your life is built on a bunch of trauma responses, you've got an unconscious life. And our lives become a living reflection of the adaptations and the unconscious coping mechanisms we learned in order to survive a dysfunctional upbringing. These adaptations and coping mechanisms show up in the healing journey too. Like, you better believe that as soon as I learned about like organic food and natural, holistic, alternative wellness, I dove headfirst into that shit, but I brought all of my perfectionism and all of my hypervigilance and all of my anxiety into that with me. So then guess what? How did I approach like natural health and healing and food? With the fucking energy of perfectionism and hypervigilance about my body and anxiety about everything. Like, I just brought the same patterns into a different journey. And I would be shocked if one of you said that you haven't brought similar patterns into your healing journey. Like, I would be totally shocked if you were like, oh no, I haven't showed up with perfectionism in my healing journey, not at all. I'd be like, bullshit. Yes, you have. Here's what I mean, okay? Obsession with healing all the things, outsourcing your wellness, your power, your safety to coaches and therapists and Instagram accounts, getting triggered means, oh, fuck, I'm still not healed. I still have all this work to do because I got triggered. You always need to try the latest nervous system modality or vagus nerve reset or therapy. And you have this story, well, I've tried everything and nothing works. There's a sense of urgency, like there's a clock ticking on your healing. I better hurry the fuck up and heal this. I'm running out of time. You're hypervigilant with yourself. You frequently check in with yourself to make sure, do I feel anxious? Is a panic attack coming on? You feel especially validated when people feel sorry for you, maybe. Maybe your inner critic has become especially loud and busy about how you still haven't healed enough yet. Maybe you still notice yourself wanting to control your emotional experiences. Maybe you're still really fucking sensitive. Maybe you dissociate into the healing journey. Do you know what I mean by that? Where like now everything in your life is about this and you don't do anything else outside of this. And everything you do with your free time is something fucking spiritual or something healing or whatever. And you don't just like put on an old West saloon whore outfit and go out for the night because everything has to be spiritual and healing. Maybe your obsession has switched from health Facebook groups and Instagram accounts to accounts like mine. Now I'm obsessed with healing journey accounts and groups. Maybe you have little to no interest in non-spiritual activities and you have a little bit of spiritual perfectionism happening. Or you have little to no interest in activities or hobbies that aren't related to healing. Like if it doesn't improve my personal growth, I'm not interested. Maybe you get rigid with your nervous system tools or your nervous system hygiene routine. So do you see how those familiar unconscious responses and adaptations can quickly take over the healing journey and make you jump right back on a hamster wheel? But it's like the trauma healing hamster wheel. And we're just going in circles and we're chasing trauma responses and we're chasing patterns and we're chasing all of these things. Do you see how that can create lifestyle inflammation? How that can like take you away from living your freaking life? You're not just living and being when you're on that hamster wheel of I have to fix all the things. Kind of sounds like health anxiety. It's like healing journey anxiety. Is this resonating for anyone? Okay, good. So remember, if you've seen all the workshops, you're going to know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen all of them, you might be a little lost. Remember when I was telling you about my big abandonment trigger? Where I was like, really, my mom was kind of out of the picture. She had gone no contact with me. And I'm really grateful that happened because I needed to be totally without her to really go to the depths of how much my fear and triggers of abandonment were affecting my life and affecting my relationships. So like months to a year after my mom and I had like not had any contact for a while, I was getting massively triggered in my relationship with my best friend, whose name is Honor, and my husband. These are the two most important relationships in my life. So it makes sense why I would get triggered in those relationships. Because for me, there's the risk of loss is really great, you know? So if I fuck up, if we can't repair a conflict, if we don't understand each other, if there's not belonging and acceptance and all of that, then like the risk is really, really high. Because those relationships are really important. So once again, we were over at my friend Honor's house and I was sharing vulnerably at her kitchen bar. I'll stop sharing my screen so I can talk for a second. I started sharing at her bar like, okay, my mom hasn't talked to me in all of these months and I just still find myself so triggered by like almost everything you guys are doing. And I know it's not your fault and I know it's not my fault. And it's not that I don't have awareness about it because I do. It's not that I can't communicate about it because I can. It's not that I don't have language about it because I do. It's not that I can't feel my feelings because I can. So like I can do all of these things, which are the things I'm supposed to be doing, right? I'm doing all the right things. And yet I still get so fucking triggered around you guys when I perceive that you're withdrawing or that I might be getting abandoned because you don't approve of something I'm doing. And I was just crying. And my friend Honor just looked at me and she said, Maybe it's a scar. Have you ever considered that it might be a scar? And then David was like, kind of sounds like you're on a hamster wheel, doesn't it? And I was just like, shit. Shit. But Honor asking, what if it's a scar? And David pointing out that I was indeed on a hamster wheel, which hamster wheel is a concept that's been in my awareness a long time. I was on a hamster wheel of wellness, toxic wellness culture for a really long time. And then for a little bit, I got off that hamster wheel and I just jumped on a different hamster wheel, which was like the trauma healing hamster wheel. So when Honor asked, do you think it's a scar? And David was like, sounds like you're on a trauma healing hamster wheel. I was like, holy shit. Holy shit. It was like a huge epiphany for me. Their curious questions brought me into awareness that I was indeed on a hamster wheel with this pattern. So for weeks, I sat with their questions. What does it mean to have a scar that people can't see? The irony of me being back on a hamster wheel. Like, there was so, like, oh my God, I like talk about getting off the hamster wheel of wellness all the time and I'm fucking on another hamster wheel. Like, I had to sit with that. I had to sit with there being something as big as this pattern of being triggered with abandonment in these relationships and with the possibility that what if I've healed it as much as I can? Like, it never occurred to me that I couldn't fix it. Like the energy that I was in with this abandonment shit with my mom was, I think I truly had this out there somewhere in the distant future. I'm going to get to this place where this doesn't affect me anymore. I'm going to out heal my need to be totally accepted in my close relationships. I'm going to out heal the hypervigilance that I feel if I catch a sideways glance or if somebody sighs in a certain way and I perceive that they're annoyed with me, or when they use a past tense verb instead of a present tense verb and I like read into that, I'm like, what does it mean? Why did you use a past tense verb? Like the intensity that I would come at these people when my abandonment was triggered was like high intensity. And yeah, I've learned over the years, like it's a lot calmer now. I react a lot less. I'm way less hypervigilant. I have language to communicate. Hey, I noticed you breathed this way and you used this past tense verb and the voice in my head is telling me it means this. Is that real? Right? I've learned to ground myself in the present and ask for clarification. Like I've learned how to feel my fucking feelings. I've learned all of that stuff. And I truly do believe that at that level of consciousness I was at that time, I was doing all of that to eventually get to the imaginary point in the future where it doesn't affect me anymore. So it never occurred to me that I couldn't fix it. It never occurred to me that this might be a really big emotional scar and it's as healed as much as it ever will. It never occurred to me that I might have an emotional disability of sorts. Like it never occurred to me because of the perfectionism. So when I first recognized this trigger and my adaptive patterns, I knew it was a big one, like probably the one that has unconsciously informed most of my relationships for most of my life. It makes sense that I would want to work through it and heal it. And I owe that to myself and I owe that to the important people in my life to like work through my shit and show up better in that relationship. But I fell back into the old pattern that I was in when I was on the fucking hamster wheel of wellness, which is healed means it's totally gone. It means it's resolved. It means it's no longer happening. It's over and done. We're all cured. We can all go home happy. Like that's really where I was at with this. So what does healed even mean? And who am I if I'm not healing? Who am I if I'm not fixing something? Who are you if you're not healing and fixing something? You can put it in the chat. Who are you if you're not healing or fixing something? Oh, a failure. Who else? Who are you if you're not healed or healing? Oh, you're lazy. I don't know yet. That's really tender. It's really, really tender. Anybody want to share? Who are you if you're not healing something? Katarina, I don't know either. Danielle, what about you? Nicole? Sinead? Ani? Danielle? Who am I if I'm not healing something? It's a hard question, huh?
I was just going to say, Lindsay, that I can totally relate to. Sorry, I think my coverage is not great, so because I dropped in and out of the Zoom there, but I live in the countryside in the middle of nowhere, and the coverage is very hit or miss. But I was just what came to mind there for me is that had I been attending this course, and doing this program like 5 years ago, I was on the, you know, the healing wellness hamster wheel. And actually, when you asked the question, like, who am I if I'm not healing? Like, what came immediately was like, I'm okay. Like,
Nice.
I'm okay now. I'm cool now because I feel like it swung back. So I did swing all the way over here, and I resonate with everything you've mentioned. But like, now I've ditched the healing wheel now. Thankfully, I'm just like, I'm off it.
Fuck yeah,
Done.
dude. I love that. I love that. Yes. Danielle says, I'd feel like people think I feel I am better than them. Does that feel icky, Danielle?
Yeah,
it's okay.
Well, it feels like who are you to not be having anything to heal or fix? So that's kind of how it comes up for me.
Oh.
Not saying that's how I am, because I've got a lot of shit to fix.
Yeah. But if I'm not always, if I'm not always fixing something about myself, like, who am I to think I don't have anything to fix? Yeah.
Yeah. Not really good to you.
Yeah, that's okay. No judgment from me, dude. What if some of my adaptations are scars? Just what if? What if they're as healed as they can be? What if I have emotional and spiritual scar tissue that I can't control or change? What if I can trust that I'll be okay, even if this scar affects my life and my relationships? What if I am worthy of love and belonging, even if I never do a shred more healing? What if I let this compulsive need to heal this go? What would that be like? What if healing it means learning to live with it? What if I channeled all this energy working on myself toward cultivating safe, reciprocal relationships where there's room to work out and through my patterns? What if I didn't have to figure out how to avoid or control this pattern, and I surrendered any beliefs that I have to prevent my scars from being seen? What if my open communication about my patterns is enough? What would I do with my time and energy and money if I wasn't focused on a health or nervous system or relationship problem? What if there was nothing to fix? That was my own awareness and curiosity process as I sat with the possibility that I might have an emotional scar. Okay, what if? What if I do? What does it mean about me? Well, it doesn't actually mean anything about me. Okay, I have an emotional scar. Guess what? I have a scar underneath my eyebrow on my face from whenever I was 14, and we were at a hotel, and there was this swimming pool that was very poorly designed, where it was like the swimming pool was in the shape of an L, and the right angle part of the L was like indoors, And then they had these glass walls that came down, and you had to swim under the glass walls to get to the outdoor part. So, as a 14-year-old, I'm just like swimming in this pool underwater, and I have my eyes open underwater. And from the shadow, I could see the shadow of the glass wall on the floor of the pool. And from what I saw on the shadow, it looked like I had swam underneath that glass wall. So then I went up to take a breath and I hit right there, that glass wall, like hit it right there, blood like streaming down my face. Terribly designed pool. Okay. Hopefully they changed it after that. But okay, I have this scar on my face. What the fuck does that mean about me? Nothing. It means I have a scar on my face from being in a poorly designed pool when I was 14. That's all it means. So, where did this awareness and curiosity process take me? I finally realized that I had this belief that there's some point out there somewhere where I arrive at this destination of no more pain, no more triggers, no more complex PTSD, where I finally figured it out. And oh my God, can I tell you how much health and wellness culture influenced this? Because when you are in the space of like bloggers and Facebook groups and fucking Dr. Mercola and Dr. Axe and Dr. Whoever the fuck else, like when you're in that space, they constantly sell you this idea that there is a thing that you need that is going to figure it out for you. And they tell you all about the journey that they've been on in a way that you're like, oh, if I go on that same journey, maybe I also will experience the healing that they've experienced. Right? That makes you have this illusion. Oh, I finally figured it out. I got it. I got there. Right. And sometimes we do finally figure out something. Like, I was so relieved when I got my blood work tested and it came back that my thyroid was in the toilet and there was something I could do about it. Like, there was definitely a feeling of like, finally, I figured it out. I felt really validated in that. It was important. But that didn't happen all the time when I was on the hamster wheel of wellness. I was mostly just chasing, you know? It makes really sexy marketing to be able to sell people that kind of outcome. It sounds really good. It looks really good. If they can show the before and after photo to prove it, oh my God. That destination is where all people want to get to when they embark on a healing journey of any kind, physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, it doesn't matter. But I am not feeling my feelings and not being afraid of my feelings so that I can magically arrive at an imaginary destination where everything is fixed and gone and I am a perfectly healed human. Like, that's not the point. And you're not doing that either. Maybe you have been, I don't know, but that's not actually what's happening. So, what if healed? Like, rather than healed, meaning, oh, it's gone, it's totally fixed, I'm all better. Yay, I healed it. I cured it. And now I'm going to start a website and a coaching program and teach you how to do it too. Watch me, right? Like, okay. But maybe healed could mean I'm not obsessing about it anymore. I'm just present with it when it happens and I feel my way through it. I meet it as it comes up. What if heal could mean I recover from the trigger more quickly? It used to like engulf me for days or weeks, and now it's only a couple days or hours. What if I bounce back more quickly? What if I have language now to describe my experiences and communicate my experiences with intimate relationships when it affects them? What if I'm able to be like, yeah, you know what? I do that sometimes. I do. And I can tell you why, and I can also make an effort to like work on that because I can see how that affects you. What if healed means I understand the connection between my childhood abandonment wounding and how smart my body was to adapt in the ways it did to survive? Like, Jesus, thank you, body. Instead of it being like, oh my God, I have to fix this about myself. Like, no, actually, thank you. Thank you for being so smart and wise in doing this for me. What if healed means I accept however the scar shows up and I continue to offer myself unconditional love and acceptance? It's a little bit deeper than, oh, good, it's gone, right? What if healed could mean that I accept that my nervous system was programmed by a set of circumstances that were completely beyond my control and I'm just doing my best? I get chills every time I say that. What if healed could mean that I co-create reciprocal relationships where I am not too much, where I am loved, wanted, cherished, respected, always, including when I get triggered? What if that's what it means? So let's talk about scars. Physical scar tissue, depending on the depth of the scar, is often rigid, tough, and thick, right? If you have a physical scar, like from an operation or an injury or something, you had to have stitches, like that tissue, you can feel it. It's often rigid, tough, and thick. And it can be worked with and softened, right? Like we can rub vitamin E oil into our scars to kind of help scar tissue stay malleable. But no matter how much you work with the scar never goes away, correct? Like it never disappears. It might get smaller over time, it might be less noticeable over time, but it never totally goes away. And the body is permanently changed. You cannot go back to having the same body that you had before you had the scar. The body is permanently altered. And depending on the severity of that scar, your body might have to adapt around it or compensate somehow, right? We also might be asked to tell someone how we got a scar, right? Little kids love that. If you have like a scar that they can see, they love to be like, "What's that?" You know, because it's interesting and weird. And no one wants a scar because it's a permanent reminder of the wound, the pain, the experience. But still, what other choice do you have but to accept the scar and figure out how to live with it? Right? And you can get physical therapy to support that. You could get massage to support that. You can do all kinds of things to support it, but that doesn't get rid of it. Are you any less healed in your physical body because you have a physical scar? Am I somehow not whole because I have this scar above my eye? I don't think anyone would say that. David, when he was fucking in high school, did a really dumbass thing, heated up a crucifix necklace with a candle or a lighter or something, and then branded himself on the shoulder to like put a burn mark of a cross in his arm. And then he went to like fall football training and had to start lifting weights, and it wasn't totally healed yet. And so, as his bicep expanded and his muscles got bigger with this like burn that wasn't healed, the cross part of the cross, the horizontal line, like stayed the same, but the vertical line stretched out. So he has this weird, like it almost looks like a worm thing on his arm that was supposed to be a burned cross in his arm from branding himself, right? Is a permanent reminder his body is never going to go back to being the same. You know what I mean? Is he any less lovable because he has that on his body? No. So why are you less lovable if you have an emotional scar? Why? Of course, we know that the nervous system can heal. We know that we can unburden the nervous system to create capacity and resiliency. We know that we can use intentional stressors to widen our windows of tolerance to build capacity and resiliency. Like, we know that's possible. We've all experienced how healing the simple practices of awareness and curiosity can be, even feeling your feelings without fear. Powerful practice. I think all of you have had the experience of noticing a physical sensation in your body, and just the simple act of being present with it turns the intensity down on it, right? You've all had that experience. And also, I don't know if that it's realistic to heal everything. If heal means we have to get rid of it, fix it, it has to go away, it has to be totally resolved. Could both be true at the same time? Could a combination of awareness and personal responsibility and acceptance be the ticket off the trauma healing, nervous system healing hamster wheel? Some of us wear scars on our physical bodies, and some of us wear our scars in our emotional bodies. And we recover as much as we can. And we have a responsibility to do that. We have to love ourselves to do that. But it doesn't change the fact that the scar is still there. I'm curious if this is creating spaciousness for anyone. Is there like any kind of like space opening up? Maybe it feels like there's less of a ticking clock. Maybe it feels like the possibility that we could invite more self-acceptance in. Or maybe you notice resistance. Maybe there's some part that's like really struggling with this, that's having a hard time wrapping her mind around, like, what do you mean it's not going to be totally gone? Like, however that's showing up for you is okay. Oh, he put his cross in the chat. You should feel it. It feels really weird. That's so funny. Okay. So what does it mean to let go? Did you know when I was like in the depths of my suicidal despair, hell, I actually Googled, what does it mean to let go? I really didn't know. Everybody was like, just let go. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Can I let go of the need to know what letting go means? Right? Here's a curiosity practice. Okay. This is straight from my journal. All right. What does it mean to let go? Can I let go of the need to know what letting go means? Then the voice of resistance came in. If I don't know what it means to let go and I don't know how to let go, how can I let go? Okay. All right. We're going to go deeper. Does a part of me believe that I can't do something without needing instructions? What if letting go is a moment by moment choice? What if it means that I choose to change what I can and let go of what I can't change? Can I support myself as much as possible if I have to face things that are outside of my control or when I'm affected by things beyond my control, i.e., my own scars or other people's scars? Can I support myself in that? Serenity prayer, I think, is really, really appropriate for this. Right? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right. With that, let's take a quick break. Let's come back. We'll say 5 after. So use the bathroom, get some food, snack, tea, whatever. We'll be right back.